This is the world of Salesforce and Dropbox, HubSpot and Evernote, a world unthinkable without cloud software services. Most businesses and consumers use SaaS every day to get work done. Driven by the internet and ever-expanding availability of bandwidth, SaaS has come to dominate our lives in a very short span of time. But developing a defining service, often ahead of its time, getting users to engage, secure funding, protect IP, and building a truly remarkable and successful SaaS is not an easy task. SaaS Stories brings conversations with the dreamers and visionaries who dared to think ahead. How they built their SaaS, genesis, struggles, trials, tribulations, and eventually success.
Welcome to SaaS Stories. Thank you for your time and for joining us on this session. I have a favor to ask. While you continue to listen to the podcast, please leave a comment or rating at iTunes or wherever else you get your podcasts from. I personally look at each comment and will give a shout out to each of you in our next episodes. It means a lot to hear from you.
Welcome to this first of a series of special episodes on SaaS Stories. In this episode, we talk about churn. Why churn, you ask? Churn is one of the biggest hurdles that new SaaS companies face while going for growth. Today, we have with us Carl Gold, Chief Data Scientist at Zuora, and we will talk about churn and how to fight it.
Zuora is a platform for subscription companies of all kinds to run their business. Now, Zuora mainly historically has served SaaS companies, and they're our largest single group of customers still today are SaaS companies. And what Zuora lets these companies do is basically manage their business. So a lot of SaaS companies run their business on Zuora. So the index is we take anonymized and aggregated data that we collect on the platform, and we calculate things like the average churn rate, among others. Because our system is managing the subscriptions for, you know, around 1,000 companies today, if we can actually empirically answer the question of, you know, what's an average churn rate, you know, when you look at a lot of companies that are active in different market segments. We did see in the spring the highest average churn rate that we've seen in several years, but it was only the higher than the previous months by a couple of percent. I mean, it was strange. You know, you wonder why. It's because there were some companies that are slowed down by COVID. So some SaaS companies operating in, you know, that their product relates to travel, obviously, they probably saw a big churn spike. But then you have all the other SaaS companies that have seen shelter in place as a boost to their business because everyone needs home productivity tools. I can mention the company Zoom Video. Zoom Video runs their business on Zuora and they saw their business explode.
Carl Gold is the chief data scientist at Zuora, where he created the subscription economy index and the data science behind Zuora's subscriber insights. He has a PhD from the California Institute of Technology and has authored publications on machine learning and neuroscience. Before coming to Zuora, he spent most of his post-academic career as a quantitative analyst in Wall Street. Now a data scientist, he uses a variety of tools and techniques to analyze data around online systems. He is the author of the book Fighting Churn with Data on using data to increase subscriber engagement and reduce churn. Now on to this special episode of SaaS Stories with Carl Gold, Chief Data Scientist at Zuora. Carl, welcome to SaaS Stories. It's delightful to have you back on another show, and I enjoyed our last chat so much.
Yeah, thank you. Thanks for having me back, and it's good to see you again.
So let's dive right in. SaaS Stories is a show for SaaS founders, and churn is something which is so close to SaaS success, and we speak so little about it that it's time to really focus our attention to that. So start with what you think is churn and where this is headed.
Well, I mean, what I think is churn, well, what everyone thinks is churn is just your customers quitting. I mean, it's the opposite of the growth. I mean, that all SaaS companies aspire to. It's your customers who you worked so hard to sign up and train and acquire, you know, whatever you had to do to get them on there, it's them leaving you. So it's all your hard work going out the door. That's what churn is.
What are the most common reasons for people churning?
Well, it's really common sense if you think about it. I mean, we live in this world now of subscription products, right?
Yeah.
It's so easy to, a SaaS makes it so easy to create a product to match a customer need. But that means we have tons of options. Anything that you're going to get through a SaaS product, there's other ways to do it. I mean, it might be another SaaS product, your competitor, or it could just be, you know, someone doing it on their own. Like many SaaS products, you know, let's say it's a BI tool for, you know, visualizing data. Well, look, Google Sheets is free. That's your competition right there. So it's different from utilities. People have a confusion. I mean, utility products are like the original subscriptions. You pay every month for your gas. And for those of us who are old like us, we remember in the 20th century, you paid every month for your phone. And that was it. There was one phone company and that was your only choice. So there was no churn problem back then. But it started when they deregulated the telecommunication markets, because all of a sudden the phone providers found, hey, people can quit. They can go to the other guys.
Right.
So churn is just a product of the world we live in with so many choices, you know, substitutes for the same good.
Is it also an attitude problem? So I remember I used to do a lot of work with consumer electronics and stuff like that. And those days, one of the things that we used to always discuss is that why is the advertising and the packaging so good and the user manual so third rate?
Yeah. Right. Well, then there are differences between why people churn more or less from particular products. You know, right. Not just why does churn exist is because there are options. Now, your churn will depend, in your particular case, always depends on how well you train your customers, how sticky your product is. I really just focus on value. If you provide a good value to the user for your service, if whatever they get from using it is worth more to them than what they pay, then you don't have a churn problem. I mean, you could always make it better.
Right.
But if people don't find the value, or if they can get a better value somewhere else, then you have a real churn problem.
Right. Tell me about the index that you developed at Zuora.
Oh, the index. Okay. Well, I should back up and mention a little bit about Zuora.
Right.
So, I mean, Zuora is my day job. I don't just talk about churn. I have a more general role as I'm head of the data science group at Zuora. Zuora is a public company. We're traded on the NYSE stock index. Don't ask me about the share price. It's so-so. but Zuora is a platform for subscription companies of all kinds to run their business. Now, Zuora mainly historically has served SaaS companies, and they're our largest single group of customers still today are SaaS companies. And what Zuora lets these companies do is basically manage their business, their product and catalog. You have a catalog of subscriptions that you offer. If you're at the very start of your SaaS journey, you might only have one plan, but almost immediately you're going to have multiple plans, you know, for your subscription. And Zuora lets you manage those plans, manage your customers, connect the customers with the plans, get the customers their bills. We do the billing. So a lot of SaaS companies run their business on Zuora. And so we started out talking, you asked me about the index. So the index is we take anonymized and aggregated data that we collect on the platform, and we calculate things like the average churn rate, among others, because our system is managing the subscriptions for, you know, around 1,000 companies today. If we can actually empirically answer the question of, you know, what's an average churn rate, you know, when you look at a lot of companies that are active in different market segments. So, and we also have like growth rates too. We don't just look at churn. But.
Got it. So coming to churn, the first question I think, which will be amiss if I didn't ask, is how did you see COVID impact, or did it at all impact churn rates across the companies that you're looking at?
It's a little bit complicated. Overall, not that much, actually. We did see in the spring the highest average churn rate that we've seen in several years. But it was only the higher than the previous months by a couple of percent. Right. I mean, it was strange. Q4 of 2019 was a relatively high churn rate, too, and that was before COVID. And then Q1, it went up to 27%, if I recall. This is annualized.
Right.
The peak was 27% annualized, and it's since fallen down to around 24% in the last quarter. And that's pretty typical of the last couple of years. So it went up a little bit. You wonder why. It's because there were some companies that are slowed down by COVID. So some SaaS companies operating in, that their product relates to travel, obviously. Right. They probably saw a big churn spike. But then you have all the other SaaS companies that have seen shelter in place as a boost to their business because everyone needs home productivity tools. I can mention the company Zoom Video. Now, there's a debate. Is Zoom a SaaS company or a telco company? But we don't need to go there. But anyway, Zoom Video runs their business on Zora, and they saw their business explode. So for all the travel companies that got shut down on Zora, we had Zoom type companies that were their business was expanded. So overall, we didn't see a lot of impact, but we know from individual stories there are some very profound impacts, but it's not on that many companies.
I think it makes complete sense. What are the core reasons for churning? So one is that people not getting enough value out of what they're paying you for. For example, do you have any idea about whether if a competing product comes and discounts their price, will people move or will they churn?
Yeah, it's hard. I can't really answer that empirically. I mean, I've never had the opportunity to do that kind of study.
Okay.
We would have to have both companies on the Zora platform for me to study it.
Sure.
I have a high level intuition about, why people don't churn, but of course, it's really the details that are interesting, on different products. Like you mentioned about, products that are hard to use at the beginning, so there are known things that are problems. I mean, the thing is, you could have a good product, but people might not be figuring out how to use it. So one of the main methods of reducing churn that I recommend is to, well, number one, figure out what are your really good features that everyone should be using on your product, and then make sure people are using them in a targeted way. Don't just spam everyone. So that's the other, trick, of course, to fighting churn is to be targeted. So the people who aren't using that good feature, you do want to reach out to them somehow or give them a training. So, it's not just about is your product good or bad. It's about do you have the processes in place to get people to the value? Because many SaaS products, let's face it, they're not easy to use.
True.
To the founder, you think, oh my God, this is so intuitive, right? But it's your vision. So, of course, it's intuitive to the founder. To the newbie who just picked it up, it might not be so intuitive. And that can be a barrier to people reaching the value.
True. I get it. So it will basically boil down to them not able to harness the value that they expected to harness, right?
Yeah.
That's it might come in different parts, but that will be the bottom line, that I'm not getting value out of this.
Yeah, and it's good that you emphasize the subjective element, because you're really right about that. It's, did it meet their expectation? Because, some people, churn when they seem like they're getting a good value. That's something, we all observe. And then there are people who seem to be getting a terrible value. You can see in the data, oh, this person's barely using it. Why don't they churn? But they don't sometimes.
True,
so there's
true.
Always like a random subjective element to it.
True. I can speak from experience. People just forget about stuff and they keep paying. And I know of such so many situations where, it's so little. You're paying $20 a month. You don't even look at it. And then suddenly you'll remember, oh my God, I've been paying.
Yeah, or in some cases, the consumer could be looking for alternatives.
Yeah.
Like, maybe you're like, hey, this isn't meeting my expectations, but it's the best I can find for now. And then you do your research, and eventually that's when the churn comes. So it's hard to predict when the churn's really going to come, even if you have evidence that a customer's not, you know, getting value, which is one of the things that makes it so hard to do anything about.
Right. So that brings us to that obvious question, that what can you do about churn?
Well, I like to say the number one thing is have a great product. And that should really resonate with SaaS founders. I mean, because that's your real mission, is to make a product that your customers love. And if you do that, I mean, you have to admit that'll be the best thing you can do for churn. But of course, it's not that simple, because, you know, having great product is number one. I mean, number two probably is making sure that the customers find, you know, or are able to capture value. And that there's two main areas that customers, you know, work on there, or that, you know, the company can work on. One is to basically re-engage through some kinds of campaigns. Could be email or, you know, messaging, whatever means you have to communicate with your customers. But again, always make it targeted, so it's really telling them something they don't know, or they'll just, you know, hit the delete key, you know, start filtering your messages. The other area is customer success. Now, it's a big area in SaaS. If this is, you know, mostly founders listening to the podcast, they might not be thinking much about customer success. It's kind of something you do when you're a little bit more mature. It's kind of like, probably by Series A, you should definitely be having customer success. But if you're still at your seed round, you might not be thinking customer success. Customer success is the proactive version of customer support. I mean, you call into customer support. Customer success is going to, the people in that group are going to call you if they think you need a training, or they see from the data that you're not, you know, taking advantage. You might get a call or an email from a customer success representative for one-on-one interaction.
Right. It's time for a short break. I asked Carl, what type of data do you need to track? What metrics are necessary, and how to determine what would be the appropriate response to certain type of churn data that you track? Carl will elaborate after the break. Stay with us.
You are listening to a Business Podcast Network original. Podcasting is the fastest growing content marketing opportunity, which is untapped. We can help you craft your audio strategy and help leverage the wide reach and easy streaming capability that the smartphone penetration provides. It is easy, it is powerful, and personal. Talk to us to find out how podcasting can help you build your brand and reach out to your targets like never before. Write to us at bpn@bizcast.in. That is bpn@bizcast.in. Business Podcast Network. Podcasts end to end.
Welcome back. I'm Shubhanjan Sarkar, your host for SaaS Stories and founder of PitchLink, the buyer-seller engagement platform. Right before the break, I asked Carl, what are the key data points and metrics that we need to track, and what are the responses that we should line up to remedy situations? Here is what he had to say. So now let's connect it to your book. How do you use data to fight the churn? What kind of metrics should you be tracking to figure out, oh, this needs this reaction?
Mm-hmm. Let's see. Okay, so did we mention my book? It's Fighting Churn with Data from Manning Publications, and it just came out. At the time of this recording, it's still in pre-order on Amazon, but it's already out for my publisher. And so it's a book for data geeks like me, people who, you know, are hands-on with the data. So it's about the techniques to take. Well, most businesses, most SaaS products are instrumented to collect user data in different ways. And there are different tools available to do this. I mean, there are products. Some of the ones that I know of are, you know, Amplitude, Segment, Omniture. It's more for websites, but it's the same idea that you track users over time as they go through different interactions with your product. Now, that gives you a bunch of interactions tracked in a data warehouse. And what my that's where my book starts. Assuming that you've got a bunch of these user interactions that you've been tracking, it's how do you turn those that data into usable tools to drive your churn reduction campaigns? And it mostly comes down to making customer metrics. That's what I call it. That's what most people call it. I think customer metric is a pretty common term. You know, it's a measurement of the interactions, and typically you make those measurements over all your customers. Just make an example. You know, if the product is a dashboarding, you know, business intelligence type tool, then the customer interactions are going to be things like viewing dashboards or editing dashboards. And if that's your SaaS product, you're probably accumulating a big data warehouse of who edited what dashboard when, but are you doing anything with that data? And so the first step is to make customer metrics, which summarize each customer, typically just like how many dashboard edits per month or how many dashboard views per month are the basic customer metrics that you would calculate. And that's kind of the first step of just understanding what your customers are doing.
And what do you do with that? So if you should be setting some numbers that this should be the ideal, ideal number of.
So basically creating the customer metrics that got you through chapter 3 of my book. Then in chapter 4 and 5, it's about how do you find the level needed for health in all of your metrics, because it's kind of surprising, but almost any one of those metrics of your main product, you know, behaviors, they'll show you, you'll see that the people who do those behaviors the least churn the most, and the people who do your product using behaviors the most churn the least. Now, that's all on average, you know, statistically. And typically, if you think about it as a retention rate, the retention rate increases the more people do the most common behaviors. And typically there's a plateau where you can see, say more than 10 dashboard edits per month, you know, the retention goes up to a certain point, and then it tends to plateau, and customers who do more and more of each action. There are some actions which, you know, the retention rate keeps increasing, and those are the best, actually, if you find those customer metrics. But most typically, you'll see like a plateau, and that's kind of like the healthy customer level.
So, I mean, especially if you're an early stage company, you may not have enough data to be able to surely say that this is what will cause churn or this is what will cause retention. How does it pan out for the early ones?
Well, you don't need that much data, and how much you need is also covered in the book. My typical rule of thumb is you need around 100 churns, and then you're probably going to have many more customers who didn't churn than those who churned. If you really have less than 100 churns, your product is that new, I mean, then you're pretty much in the domain of user groups, you know, surveys, focus groups.
Right.
I mean, which is how every business starts out. You know, sure. you get your best friend on the platform and you say, how did you like it? You know? Mm-hmm. But you only need, like I say, about maybe 100 churns before you can start doing the data-driven approach,
okay.
Which is to collect. Then this is what I teach in the book, is to collect the historical data. So there's no trial and error, you know. You basically the trial and error is your past customers who used the product, and those that stayed, and those that didn't. And so what I teach in the book is how to mine that data to get those insights. Like, what's the healthy level? What's the level of each behavior at which you don't really have to be worried about the customer? And that's the simple way of viewing it. I mean, in the later chapters of the book, like chapter 9, I teach, you know, AI and machine learning and all the buzzwords. But I start out with, you know, more intuitive ways to figure out what those healthy levels are. It's still all very data driven, though.
What are the numbers that one is looking at? So, for example, what is the industry average? What is the acceptable level of churn? I mean, I know that Tom Tungus wrote about of 9-point capital. He said -1.4% churn is the best growth matrix, and so on. But when you are looking at the data, what do you see? What is the churn rate at the worst, and what's the churn rate at the best, and so on?
Okay, and it's different depending on where you look in the industry. So I have seen everything from churn rates below 1% per year, and I've also worked with companies with having churn rates of 60% per year. Now, here's the difference. The 60% churn rate per year was a consumer video streaming product where you have fickle consumers and tons of competition. The less than 1% churn rate per year was a business-to-business product in a mature market where they pretty much owned the market for that one business function, but they had a very low growth rate. So their 0.5% churn was a big problem for them because their growth rate was only 2%, right? So that was still a quarter of their growth leaving through churn.
Right.
But then your consumer product, on the other hand, you know, they were growing at, you know, 80% per year. So they could have 60% churn and still end up with a 20% growth rate. So what is the right churn rate depends so much on where you are. So Zora produces a report that we mentioned, the Subscription Economy Index. You know, that comes out. It's a published report. It's easy to find if you just Google it. You know, it'll send you to Zora's website. If you are a promising SaaS company and you download from Zora's website, you might get a call from Zora's sales, just warning you. I mean, don't be surprised, but they mean you no harm. Don't worry. So we have these typical numbers are in the report. I mean, I can say, I'm trying to remember off the top of my head, over the entire universe of companies, the median is around 20% annual churn. For public companies like the Netflix of the world, they report, some of them report their churn numbers. Successful public companies that are reporting it are generally going to be under 10% per year. And, you know, a startup consumer product, yeah, if you have 50% churn per year, that's probably not going to surprise you. But hopefully you're acquiring, you know, EBIT customers even faster than that.
So any breakout data for the SaaS component?
It's in the report. We definitely break out in Zora's last Subscription Economy Index report. I believe we broke out even different SaaS categories.
Okay.
Enterprise SaaS, consumer SaaS. I should look at it. I don't have it open right now. But okay. Yeah, anyone can find it. Now, there's other companies that also make churn reports. So, and you also have to think about what type of company is on the platform. So Zora, you know, naturally we have some competitors, and most of those competitors focus on smaller businesses. I mean, Zora is more of an enterprise class solution, although we do have startups, you know, on the platform, but they're startups that are going places basically. Zora is more expensive, to be blunt. But so if you look at Zora competitors that are more targeting small businesses, you see higher average churn rates in their reports.
Right.
And it just makes sense. If it's a platform for small businesses, the churn rates will be higher because the smaller your customer, the higher the churn rate generally. Consumers churn more than small businesses, and small businesses churn more than large businesses, all else equal.
Right. So where do you see this going actually from here? I mean, obviously, people were not focused on churn, but the last few years, we have seen a lot of focus on churn, especially in context of SaaS. What is your prediction? What do you see in terms of where this is headed?
Well, it's more and more awareness is the way. I mean, subscription and recurring revenue businesses, it seems to be the way of the future. I mean, those of us who are already in this business have felt that way for a long time. The last year has made it even more, you know, obvious. More and more businesses are like, okay, we need to do recurring digital interactions with our customers to keep them when they're sheltering in place or wherever they're doing. So churn is just going to be a permanent part of the landscape. And again, like I said at the beginning, churn is churn exists because we, the customers, have choices. And the number of choices seems to be only going up. Right. So churn will be more and more of a problem. I mean, of course, it's still true, you know, at the seed round, at the very beginning of any company's life, you're not thinking churn. Yeah. And that's appropriate. You know, if you're really just starting out, you try to get your customers first. I say, if you haven't had 100 churns yet, don't worry about churn. Focus on getting more customers. Right. But once you've had more than 100 churns, then, I mean, my CEO, Tien Zhuo, put it, you know, best in his book. I mean, he just said every SaaS company has to face their churn problem eventually, or you won't make it, you know, to the next level. So there's no escaping it. For you can't maintain viral growth forever. And when your viral growth runs out, that's when you must deal with your churn.
Fair enough. So one final question. Do you see products coming out which will make it easier for founders to actually track and manage this churn data?
Yes, there are a few, you know, that are promising. I'm trying to remember. God damn it, I didn't prepare for this question. I actually don't have the names. They're mostly focused. Most of them are focusing on, man, these companies are going to kill me because this would have been the greatest time for me to tell you their names. But it's easy to find them on the internet, actually. My gripe about churn is that if you keyword search on churn, all you get is products, and no one can find my book, which is open source and free. But so the types of products, one is like an exit interview and offer automation. And that's a really important product. When the customer hits cancel, you want to try to capture that last bit of information. Why? And you could try to make them one last offer, right? Sure. You still need to use the data-driven techniques to design your offer, but a tool can definitely automate that process. Now, another important tool is payment retry. Many churns are just because the credit card fails, and you can't get the payment through. We call that, some people call it an involuntary churn. I call it more of a passive churn because the customer kind of just didn't bother to give you their new credit card number, right? Yeah. Or they didn't make the balance available. When you say involuntary churn, you're kind of ditching the responsibility. But anyway, the thing to do if the card fails is try again. And there are products that will help you automate the process. In fact, Zora does this. I mean, I don't want to be pitching Zora, but Zora and other companies will automatically retry the credit cards using AI to, you know, pick the optimal times. And so that's a very important, and it's almost like a no-brainer, you know. It doesn't need an understanding of the value of the product to retry the credit card.
Right.
Now, for the fundamental kind of churn-fighting methods that I recommend in my book, I don't really know of a product because it involves so many different things. There's the understanding of the data, which I teach in my book, but then that information has to go back to your CRM and your email marketing. And I don't actually know of products that kind of automate the broad range of churn interventions. So the products at this point are mostly focused on particular, you know, niches.
Right. So that right there is an opportunity for someone who is listening to this show.
I would warn people about, you know, trying to automate these analytic tasks. It's very hard because you end up, your system needs to be pulling in data from the data warehouse and then talking back to the email marketing system, right? But yeah. Not just one, there's 50 email marketing systems. Oh, you want to send the data back to the CRM, you have to write integrations with. So if you try to do this, you're really stuck in a difficult place of managing the data pipeline between a diverse set of applications. That's what I've seen. I mean, and I was involved in startups that were trying to kind of automate this solution. It remains heavily kind of to do a real good job on churn. It does remain still heavily services oriented just because of all the integrations that you end up doing. I mean, if you've worked in this area, you know what I mean.
Fair enough.
SaaS Stories is brought to you by PitchLink, the buyer-seller engagement platform. PitchLink enables high-quality interactions between buyers and sellers through presentation and discussion modules. Sellers create personalized sales presentations and reach out to prospects through a non-intrusive, buyer-qualified engagement. PitchLink requires no installation or download and holds the entire repository of sales collaterals and buyer-seller conversation. Talk to us to know more about how you can engage with customers without intrusion. Call us on 990-216-3132. That is 990-216-3132.
That's a great note to end this chat, and I'm sure that I'll come back and this will not be the end of it. We'll come back and talk to you again. Carl, thank you so much for making time, and it was a pleasure having you on the show.
Yeah, thank you, Subhanjan. It's been a pleasure.
Thank you.
While we continue to speak with founders of emerging and growing SaaS companies, from time to time, we'll bring you focused chats with experts on critical topics that determine success in SaaS. We have a series of specials lined up for 2021 with focus on traction, testing, customer happiness, and more. We will bring in international experts and their learnings to you. We have a fantastic lineup over the next couple of episodes with great conversations with SaaS founders. Subscribe in your favorite podcast app so you do not miss a single episode. Thanks for listening.
Thank you for being with us today and listening to this episode of SaaS Stories. This is where I speak with the dreamers and visionaries who dared to think ahead and built world-class SaaS products. We hope this conversation helped you with the insights that you can go and apply right now to your own SaaS journey. We hope to have you here with us again in the next episode of SaaS Stories. SaaS Stories is brought to you by PitchLink, the buyer-seller engagement platform. SaaS Insider, the definitive community for global SaaS, and is a BizCast original production.